Our lesson this morning, as you see in your bulletin, is in the form of a question. Last week we were asking a question. This afternoon we're going to finish that question that we began, Lord's will, last Sunday morning. But this morning again we're asking another question. And the question is, what kind of fool are you? Brother Branch, you are calling us a fool. You ask us, what kind are we? Well, this lesson this morning is not meant to insult anyone, but rather to cause us to do some serious self-examination. Because the Bible has so much to say about fools. It would be very wise then for us to consider this subject and to see how it relates to us as we live our lives before God. In the scriptural text that was read by Brother Clyde this morning, Jesus describes one of the two builders as a foolish man. Verse number 26, you would remember that the scripture said, therefore whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man. Webster defines the word fool as a person with little or no judgment, common sense, or wisdom. This word also carries the idea of one who acts contrary to sound judgment. So, along with this scriptural text that is in Matthew chapter 7 that was read this morning, I want us also to look at two other occasions where our Lord describes some as being of the nature of a fool. And then lastly, we will consider a text that describes the kind of fool really that we ought to be. Remember, we asked the question, what kind of fool are you? Paul used this word in one of his letters, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and he described how worldly-minded people view Christians. And so, in the sense that he is describing in this particular chapter, he talks about himself and the other apostles as being fools for Christ. In this sense, it's no harm in being a fool, as long as we are a fool for Christ. So, the question then before us all this morning is, what kind of fool are you? There's one kind of fool, as we've already talked about, that's called a fool, or one kind of person, I should say, that is called a fool, is one that builds his house upon the sand, that is, that one who hears the words of Christ and doeth them not. That's the foolish builder. So you want to ask yourself this question this morning, am I a foolish builder? Then there's another kind that's talked about in the Bible, and it has to do with some virgins, the five foolish virgins. They fail to prepare right, and so there is the foolish preparer. And then there's another kind of fool that is talked about in the scriptures, and that is the one who came to Jesus and asked him to speak to his brother that he may divide the inheritance to me. And Jesus realized that he had the wrong idea. And he told him a parable, a story of a man who was rich. And God blessed him, of course, to become even richer with this world's good. But this man asked Jesus this question, and Jesus realized that he had the wrong thoughts about something. So that's the foolish thinker. So we got the foolish builder, we got the foolish preparer, and then we got the foolish thinker. And then the last one that I'll talk about, and I'll have to be, I guess, brief to get them all in this morning, but the last one, Paul again talks about Christians who are believers. And he challenges the Corinthian Christians to be followers of he and the apostles who were fools for Christ. So the believers, that is the foolish believer. So then, you got the sermon in a nutshell there. So as you're asking yourself this morning, as we're asking ourselves, what kind of fool am I? So let's see what answer we're going to come up with. And I hope we all will be in the last category that we'll talk about this morning. But looking back again at the foolish builder in Matthew chapter 7, the verses that were read in our hearing, in particular verse number 26 and 27, again, where Jesus says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Now, in building a house upon the sand, that is very unwise. Unwise so much so until Jesus likened this man unto a foolish man. So he is a foolish builder. You see, to build a house upon the sand goes contrary to sound building practices. Anybody who knows anything about building knows that you don't build a house on the sand. You need a solid, a sure, a good foundation to build the house, because the building is no stronger than the foundation. So Jesus said, now, the person that hears what I have to say and doesn't do what I have to say, I'm like him unto a foolish man. He's just like that man who goes out and employs unsound building practices, thinking that his house is going to stand, and when the rains come and the floods come and the winds blow, that house is going to fall. It is going to be a great fall. So he acts very unwisely. The foundation then must be solid. And so many people, even in life today, not only, and I would hope nobody would build the physical house on the sand, but so many people in life today make a very unsound judgment. And they try to build their spiritual houses, their spiritual lives, on the sand. By listening to what Jesus says and refusing to do it. And thinking that they're going to have some good results. You know, that's the irony of it. They build it on the sand, not doing what Jesus said, but think they're going to have some good results. Just like the man, the foolish man that builds his house upon the sand, thinking that he's going to be protected from the elements. And when all of the storms rage, thinks that his house is going to stand. Jesus said it won't happen. In our spiritual lives, then, we must realize that we must build our spiritual lives on a solid foundation. And the solid foundation is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11, Paul said to the church at Corinth, other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. And Jesus makes it so plain that if we want our spiritual lives to stand the test of time, we must build them upon what he has said. So he said again, verse number 24, therefore whosoever hears, Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Then when the floods come and when the rains descend, when the winds blow and they beat upon this house, it says it fell not, because it was founded on a rock. It was founded on a good foundation. It was founded upon Jesus Christ. So I say to all of us this morning then, if we want our spiritual lives to stand the test of time, and when I talk about stand the test of time, I'm talking about stand up in the judgment. Because we all one day are going to meet the judgment. We're going to be judged, the Bible said, by everything that we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. If we want our spiritual lives to stand in the day of judgment, we must build them upon what Jesus says. And he will liken us again unto a wise man. So am I a foolish builder? Our spiritual foundation, I said, must be upon Christ. Christ must be the head of everything. He must be the head of the home. He certainly is the head of the church. And in every aspect of our lives, he must be the head. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Christ must be at the first, at the head of everything that we do. If he's not the head, we're destined to fail. Yes, indeed, he must be the head. We must not be deceived. The devil is out to deceive us again in thinking again that we can build our lives on something else other than what Christ says and expect to be blessed, expect to have a good outcome, a good result. But the Bible says this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God cannot be imposed upon. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh, the Bible says, reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, don't expect God's blessings, that is, God's spiritual blessings, to come our way if we don't obey. Remember again what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus said, you might or must not even approach me if you're not going to do what I have to say. So again, God blesses those that obey his will. Eternal life is not an automatic gift. Eternal life is not obtained by our means, but it's obtained by the means that God has provided for us, and that is for us to obey Christ. So the Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 89, speaking about Christ, though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, the Bible says, he became the author of what? Eternal salvation to who? All those that obey him. So, the man in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 26 that Jesus talked about did not obey him. He heard what he had to say, but he did not do what he had to say or what he said to him. Therefore, his house fell. And our spiritual houses will fall if we don't obey Christ. So, are you a foolish builder? I hope and trust this morning that you're not a foolish builder. Then when we look further in the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1 and 2 beginning, we see here where the Lord says this, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And the Bible says 5 of them were what? Wise. And 5, foolish. And the next couple of verses says this, they that were foolish took their lamps and took oil, no oil with them. But the wise took oil and their vessels with their lamps. Notice what it says about those that were foolish. They that were foolish took what? No all with them. Jesus is describing a scene, and as the story unfolds, it's the scene of those that were going out to meet the bridegroom. As he came from the bride's house and came back to his house, they would go out to meet him, and not knowing exactly when he would come, they would carry lamps, and of course they had no street lights. But they would trim their lamps. But the wise ones, he says, took extra oil, not knowing how long they were going to have to wait for him to come. They prepared themselves. But the foolish ones, the Bible says, didn't take oil, extra oil. They were not prepared. And the Bible says, while the bridegroom tarried, that is, he delayed his coming, they all slumbered and slept. Then all of a sudden, eventually, the cry of the bridegroom cometh was heard. And they all awakened themselves. The wise were able to take this extra oil and trim their lamps. But the foolish says, give us of some of your oil. The wise says, You go and you buy. And so the Bible says they went to buy. And then when they came back, it was time for them to go in. But just before they got back, the door was shut. They missed out on going in with the bridegroom. Many folks today, if we're not careful, we're going to miss out on going in with the bridegroom in the judgment. The door is going to be shut because many folks have failed to prepare themselves. They think that they got a long time to get ready. But the Lord has said that you don't know the day nor the hour when the Lord will come. Therefore, be ye also ready. The wise were also ready. The foolish were not ready because they were foolish preparers. Church, friends, neighbors, let's not be a foolish preparer. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. So let's stay ready. Don't think that, I need to do this, I need to do that, and eventually I'll get ready. The Lord says even he doesn't know when he's going to come. So if he doesn't know, how we think that we can guesstimate when he's going to come and have enough time to get ready? So the point of the matter is that we must stay ready. We must not be a foolish preparer, but we must be prepared at all times. You see, this parable illustrates the one who waits until it's too late to prepare. Many go through life again failing to make the necessary preparations that they know they should. And indeed, this is a foolish choice not to make the necessary preparation. You see, the time will come, as it did come with these foolish virgins, when all opportunity was gone. Eventually, our opportunity will be gone. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse number 4, speaking about himself, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh, he says, when no man can work. I want to tell us, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that night is coming eventually. And I'm not talking about the night if we are alive tonight when it gets dark. But I'm talking about the night of opportunity, when all opportunity is gone, when we are lying in repose, never again having the opportunity to do what we should have done while we were alive and in our good mind. The night of opportunity will come to all of us. We must then be ready while we have the opportunity and not be a foolish preparer. We must be prepared. No wonder Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. You hear that? Be steadfast, unmovable. And then this next word is always. That doesn't suggest to us that we need to wait to abound, but we need to always be abounding. Always be prepared. Always abounding, he says, in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain. Don't be a foolish preparer. Don't think that we know when the time is going to come so that we can be ready when it appears. These foolish virgins thought that they would have the opportunity. But when they got back, the door was shut. And the Bible makes this statement, and it ought to sink into all of our hearts. They that were ready went in. What about those that weren't ready? They didn't go in. They were just like the people in the days of Noah when the door to the ark was shut. Can you not imagine all of those people out there wailing and howling? Please open the door. But the Bible says God had shut the door. And I want to tell you, when God shuts the door, nobody can open it. God again one day is going to shut our door of opportunity. And we'll never have another opportunity. How we said, Brother James, we only have one round. You play golf, you got 18 rounds. Life, you got only one. You only have one round to get it right. Don't be a foolish preparer, as these foolish virgins were. As we move on, moving over now to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. We'll not perhaps consider all of them, but some of these verses, we'll look at them. Again, as I've said already, that the Bible says in verse number 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he might divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divide over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possess. You know, in another lesson I was preaching some time ago, y'all remember me talking about stuff? Folks get wrapped up with stuff. Life does not consist in stuff. I don't care how many cars you have. That's not what life is all about. I don't care how many rooms in your house. That's not what life is all about. I don't care what kind of job you have. That's not what life is all about. But so many folks make the mistake of thinking that that's what life is. And so they chase after all of these things. And Solomon called it in the book of Ecclesiastes, chase it after the wind. Why? Because they all are going to pass away. Life does not consist, Jesus says, in the abundance of things which he possess, or which we possess. This man who asked Jesus, demanded of Jesus, or asked of Jesus to speak to his brother, he was a foolish thinker. Now, why do you call him a foolish thinker? Because when Jesus related the story to him of the rich man, whose ground brought forth plentifully, he tore down the barns that he had, and he built greater barns. Then he said, notice what he says here in verse number 18. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. First of all, he thought that life consisted in stuff. Second, he thought that once he got all of this stuff, that he would have many years to enjoy it. So he made two tragic mistakes, thinking that life consists in stuff, and secondly, thinking that he had a long time to enjoy it. I'm going to sit back and rail back in my recliner, get me a cup of tea and sit it over here, get my remote, and I'm going to flip through the channels, and I'm just going to relax for many years. A foolish thinker. Why do you call him foolish? A foolish thinker, Brother Branch? Well, go on and look at what the Bible says. Verse number 20. But God said unto him, What? Thou fool. If I could put it into the vernacular in which I'm presenting this morning, thou foolish thinker. Thou fool. And when God, somebody said, when God called you fool, you sure enough a fool. So I didn't call you a fool. God calls us a fool when we think like this. He says, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be? which thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasure for who? Himself. And is not rich toward God. He was a foolish thinker. I would say to us again, life is not about stuff. Life is about the proper relationship with God. He thought he had a long time to live. But James tells us in James chapter 4, verse number 13, he says, go to now. You that say today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such a city. We're going to stay there a year. We're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. But then he says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's just a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, don't make the mistake that this man made, thinking that he had a long time to live with his stuff. Thinking that stuff made his life. That's not what life is all about. Oh, we need to remember again that life is so fleeting, and we need to be ready when the master calls us. So we have three foolish individuals. The foolish builder. I hope you're not that type. And then we have the foolish preparer. I hope you're not that type. And then you have the foolish thinker. I hope you're not that type. But then lastly, we have the foolish believer. Notice what Paul says as he writes to the church at Corinth. These were Christians that he's writing to. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 9, he says this, for I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. And verse 10 says what? We are fools for Christ's sake. We are fools for Christ's sake. Sometimes folks might call you a fool for coming to church every Sunday. You mean you go every Sunday, you there every time the door is open? That's just foolish. Paul says we are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even until this present hour, he says, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. But notice what he has said in verse 10. We are what? Fools for Christ's sake. Why would you go through all of that, Paul? Why would the rest of the apostles go through all of that suffering and those trials that they were going through? Because they were fools for Christ's sake. Why would they go through it? And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Why aren't they fighting back? Why aren't they striking back at their persecutors? Because they are fools for Christ's sake. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things until this day. I write not these things to shame you, he says, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And then verse number 16, after describing all of the things that he and the apostles were going through because of their being fools for Christ's sake, notice what he says in verse number 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be what? Followers of me. So what was Paul saying? If I'm a fool for Christ's sake, you ought to be one too. So again, when people persecute us, when they defame us, when they criticize us, when they talk about us, when they mistreat us, don't worry about it. When they even look at us as being a fool for going through all of this. Say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I am. I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Because I know all of this is going to gain me something in the last day. Christ suffered. I'm going to have to suffer too. And he says, be followers. Not only did Paul say, be followers of me, but Christ said, be followers of me. So if Christ suffered, then we can expect to suffer too. Paul says, I'm suffering. The other apostles are suffering. So I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you to be followers of me. Be a foolish believer. Be a foolish child of God. Let the world say to you that you are a fool. You see, going back to our definition, the world looks at us when we go through all this, these things that we're going through because of Christ as being, that just doesn't make sense. That's unsound. You're not using common sense to let somebody treat you like that. That don't make sense. So the world looks at us then as being a fool. That's all right. Be a fool for Christ. Yes, indeed. The gospel is foolish to the worldly minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Notice what Paul says. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse number 21 says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the what? Foolishness of preaching, by what folks call foolish, to save them that believe. So when folks call us foolish because we go through what we go through because we believe, Bible says it pleased God to save us by following after what the world say is foolishness. So I'm challenging all of us, I'm encouraging all of us to be a foolish believer. So as we close this morning, when folks say to you, it's foolish for you to be a member of the Church of Christ, because those folks talk things like this, that there is just one church. But I believe in my heart that any church will do. So it's foolish for you to follow after some teaching like that. You need to say to them, it's written in the Bible, and I believe it. So you call me foolish, I'm going to be a fool for Christ's sake. I'm going to believe what the Lord has taught me in his Bible concerning the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians 1 and verse 22 and 23 says, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body. Ephesians 3:6 says, God wants everybody to be members of the same body. It actually says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says, Christ is the Savior of the body. That's the teaching of the Bible on the church. So again, folks will call you foolish, because you're a member of the one church. You're not just a member of any church. Let them call you a fool. Be a fool for Christ's sake. Because one day Jesus is coming back to claim his church. Matthew 15 and verse 13 says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not been planted shall be rooted up. And I say it all the time. He wasn't talking about corn, peas, potatoes. He was talking about religious organizations. Jesus has only one church. It's the Church of Christ. Are you a member of it? You're not a member of it. Folks may call you a fool again for being a member of it. But I encourage you to be a member of it. Because that's the only way you can be saved. So if you're here then this morning, you're subject to the call of the gospel, I encourage you to come. Acts 15 and verse 7, the Bible teaches that we need to hear and believe the gospel. Peter says, when there had been much disputed, the Bible rather says, as Luke is writing, when there has been much disputed, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, God made choice among us that by my mouth the Gentiles might hear and believe the gospel. So you must hear and believe the gospel. The gospel is the great story, that grand story of how God loved you and how Jesus came and died for you and how he was buried in the heart of the earth and how he rose again the third day according to the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Believe that. So much so until it will lead you to repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, and they except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let it lead you to make that good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse number 36, that Philip began at the same scripture as he was talking to the eunuch and preaching to him Jesus. When they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch says, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Philip says, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then go down into the water of grave baptism, just like that eunuch did. Bible says they commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. Oh, don't let the world deceive you. Don't let the world fool you into thinking there's nothing in baptism. Jesus says it's baptism that saves. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Jesus says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15 and 16. So make that confession that you believe and then go down in the water of grave of baptism for the remission of sin. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2 and verse 47. All of those things, again, sometimes the world looks at it as being foolish. But remember what the Bible says. It pleased God by the preaching of foolishness to save them that believe. The world calls it foolish. God says, if you obey what the world calls as foolish, I'll save you. Do you want to be saved? Obey the Lord today. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but you've been walking contrary to the will of God, turn away from it. If you need to confess, do that. If you need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, would you come? Come right now while we stand and sing.
Lifted up, Lord of care.
Would you come?
You are all that sinking us
through. Do you know him? Would you come? Would you come? Come to the Lord.
We love you, and we shall abide to the end.
Would you come? Is there one that needs to come? Would you come? Perhaps somebody needs to come this morning.